Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, August 26th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Political protest rock Harare as Tajamuka leaders are arrested for planning another public march next week.
It's a bad day for Zimbabwe, whereby this is a clear case of being contemptuous of court orders, of disregard of the rule of law. This is the extent to which the regime has gone. But be that may be, we are not going to be deterred. I'm driving to the offices of the so-called regulatory authority, then we take it from there. If it needs that we are going to file 1,000 of agent chamber application, let it be so, because it's a sad day for Zimbabwe.
Suspected ZANU-PF members set on fire a homestead belonging to an MDCT youth.
And Mutare City Council disconnects water supplies to hundreds of residents, owing it millions of dollars.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Zimbabwean police today crushed a protest organized by opposition parties to demand key electoral reforms, leaving a trail of destruction in Harare. Unconfirmed reports say one person died in the street battles. Police were not available for comment. Our reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more from Harare.
Heavily armed police details today crushed an opposition protest called by several opposition parties, uniting under what they are calling the National Election Reform Agenda, assaulting the protesters in the process, resulting in running battles between the police and the protesters. A High Court judge ordered the demonstration to proceed, but the police would not budge. This, according to Zimbabwe People First lawyer Gift Nyandoro.
This is a clear case of being contemptuous of court orders, of disregard of the rule of law. This is the extent to which the regime has gone. But be that may be, we are not going to be deterred. I'm driving to the offices of the so-called regulatory authority, then we take it from there. If it needs that we are going to file 1,000 of agent chamber application, let it be so, because it's a sad day for Zimbabwe.
Despite the court order, police continue to beat up demonstrators, firing tear gas and using water cannons to disperse the Despite the court order, police continue to beat demonstrators, firing tear gas and using water cannons to disperse the protesters. The police also opened fire on the protesters, resulting in the demonstrators retaliating with stones, logs and other missiles. Several shops were looted, while the Nigerian embassy and the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission offices had their windows smashed by the angry protesters. Several protesters were injured during the protest, while an unidentified number of people were arrested. Convener of NERA, Didmus Mutasa of the Zimbabwe People First Party, told reporters that they would organize another demonstration next week after today's protest was crushed by the police. Meanwhile, spokesperson of the MDCT, Obet Gutu, said the Southern African Development Community should now be seized with the security situation in Zimbabwe when leaders of the regional bloc meet next week in Swaziland. Zimbabwe People First President Joyce Mujuru said the anger that was shown by the people today is a result of what she called Mr. Mugabe's misrule. MDCT leader and former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai concurred with Mrs. Mujuru. Some of the protesters said they would not leave the streets until President Mugabe leaves office. Others were still engaged in running battles. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
ZANU-PF Member of Parliament Joseph Chuma tells the Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that the protesters are being sponsored by the West.
There are people, especially these people that are sponsoring these so-called protesters who don't seem to value our lives. They don't value our systems. They don't value our country at all. They would want to come back through the back door by any means whatsoever. But it is very unfortunate. And I hope the people of Zimbabwe who open their eyes very soon and see it, stop being used. We know right now our good pastor is enjoying in the United States of America, now being hosted by the government of the United States. And the followers are here. They're the ones who are running around being guys, facing all these sorts of problems. And so I hope that people will sit back and actually think that, okay, if we continue doing this, are we going to put food on our table, or are we going to just make it worse for ourselves and our children, and worse still for our country?
But, Honorable Juma, what we see is that these protesters were actually today demanding electoral reforms and nothing else.
It's never about that. They have got a good plan. Today, actually, I saw a picture of the French ambassador actually standing with some of the protesters. The whole essence of the story is that they want regime change. They failed to get through the ballot box. So now they are going to try and use violence so that if our brothers become violent against each other, then they come in sort of as if they're coming to keep peace, and yet they know what they're becoming for.
That was ZANU-PF Member of Parliament Joseph Chuma speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Police have also arrested two members of Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign, Promise Mukwananzi and Sten Zorwadza, who are planning to stage a mass protest at the end of this month to call President Robert Mugabe to resign for allegedly failing to run Zimbabwe. Police spokesperson Charity Charamba was not available for comment. Suspected ZANU-PF supporters have allegedly burnt to ashes the homestead of MDCT Mashingo Youth Chairman Philip Chigini as cases of violence rise in Zimbabwe. Reporter Gandri Maramba has more details from Mashingo.
Chigini told Studio 7 that his three-bedroom house was razed to the ground and property worth $9,000 was burnt to ashes. Chigini said he was accused of mobilizing MDC supporters to attend a party demonstration led by Morgan Tsvangirai in Mashingo City early this month.
Okay, this incident happens 2 days ago in Mtema village in Gutu at around 11 midnight. There was my daughter at my home place when the ZANU-PF youth or hooligans came and tortured my home place where I resided. And when my daughter heard that the homestead was in fire, she fled, she ran away. I lost, the property worth about 9,000, including my doors, and I was preparing to build another four-roomed house.
Chigini said he has made a police report to the police. MDCT provincial leader Mrakana Chanyang said political violence against members of his party in the province has been on the surge and condemned ZANU-PF for perpetrating.
Yeah, we are strongly convinced that it's ZANU-PF culture of perpetrating arson, and we are convinced that our provincial youth chair, Wan Chingini, had his house touched by ZANU-PF, and we are saying the police must bring to book those who perpetrated the arson.
ZANU-PF provincial chairman Amasane Njana dismissed the accusation, saying that his party is not responsible for touching the MDCT members' homestead. Mashingo police declined to comment and referred all the questions to the police headquarters in Harare. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mashingo, I am Gandri Maramba.
Thanks, Gandri. Meanwhile, MDCT Youth Secretary for Harare Province, Denford Ngadziore, is accusing ZANU-PF youth member and alleged Chipangano leader Jim Kunaka of threatening him with death for leading his youth members into the streets to protest against ZANU-PF government's alleged misrule. Ngadziore claims that Kunaka called him this morning and told him that tonight ZANU-PF members will burn and destroy MDCT supporters' houses and property. Kunaka recently rejoined ZANU-PF following a suspension from the ruling party and joined Joyce Mujuru's Zimbabwe People First. Ngadziwore speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Today, around 9:45 a.m. in the morning, I was at this waiting for the NERA demonstration, and Jimu Kunaka called me that time, and he said, Ngadziwore, make sure your youth are not demonstrating today. We are going to make sure that tonight we are going to visit every household to threaten and ban houses for some opposing activists because we don't want you to demonstrate against Robert Mugabe.
How did you identify the caller as Jim Kunaka?
I identified the caller because he called me and he first of all introduced himself. Therefore, I am Jim Kunaka. I'm calling you this. He identified himself before he even talked about the issue. I also saved his number and I checked that is his original number. He used the bad line number.
Did you make a police report following these threats?
I didn't make a police report. I tried to make a police report at a police post along Market Square, but they referred me to Central Police Station, and I failed to get to Central Police Station because of the other disturbances which are happening in town. So I failed to report, but I'm likely to go even tomorrow. But in the meantime, my priority not to go to police because the safety of my family and family activists is very important at this moment. So therefore, we are trying to run around so that our family members and other colleagues in their homes are protected.
And that was MDCT Harare Province Youth Secretary Denford Ngadziwore in Harare speaking there with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. But Kunaka denied the allegations, saying he has more important issues to deal with than MDCT members who do not pose any threat to him.
If they don't have anything to say, they must go home and sleep and shut up. Why should I threaten them? How strong are they? They are not strong enough that I can threaten them. If I want to deal with them, I can just approach them and deal with them one-on-one. So I don't have time to threaten anybody else.
Do you think they are just cooking up such a story?
As usual, they are always afraid of me. I'm a giant. They know me that I'm a giant. I haven't ever commented anything, but I will comment at a later stage, not now.
But they provided us with the number that they said you used.
Everyone got my number. Everyone in Harare. Even yourself, you got my number. So that's a silly question that you're asking me. Even Rakataura say, they will not stop me. Jamal, call me on better issues. Try to select things, Jamal, when you're about to call me.
That was ZANU-PF youth member Jim Kunaka speaking with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
Meanwhile, the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom have condemned the government for gross human rights violations by unleashing violence on peaceful protesters. In separate statements by their embassies in Harare, the three countries urged restraint on the part of both law enforcement agents and protesters. The U.S. said the U.S. urged everybody to engage in nonviolent discourse, adding that violence is never acceptable. For perspective on the stand, but for perspective, Ntungamili Nkomo spoke to analyst Dr. Nkulele Kosibanda of Huddersfield University.
I think that the condemnations are a positive event. I think that they represent the fact that the Western world is still willing to engage on Zimbabwe. So from that perspective alone, the fact that some of these most powerful countries in the world have taken a position and have commented at this point must be seen as very positive, because the constant fear in the last 1 or 2 years has been that the West is no longer willing to engage on Zimbabwean issues. The fact that it is engaging is very, very positive, and I think that will be welcomed by many who seek to have a democratic society in Zimbabwe.
Given all the human rights violations that we see being perpetrated by police on peaceful demonstrators, are we likely to see these Western nations tightening their grip on Zimbabwe?
The hope is
promises that they will do that, but there is nothing on the ground indicating that Western nations are willing to engage or have the capacity to engage. America is going to be having new elections, and they are very divisive, and that will have a bearing on what the attention, how much attention can be paid on periphery issues such as Zimbabwe. The United Kingdom is dealing with the serious aftermath of Brexit, and I think that that's certainly an issue that will keep them a lot more busy.
How do you see all this chaos ending? Where are we headed to as a country?
I think that it is unprecedented, and Zimbabweans have shown quite a few analysts on this one. It seems that a sizable section of the Zimbabwean society is willing to face the government down, and I hope it continues like that. But there have been reports also that the government is taking a new strategy of identifying and targeting specific individuals and dealing with them even outside demonstrations in terms of abusing them and arresting them and so forth. I think that that may have serious repercussions on what actually happens. But it is yet unseen. I don't think that even ZANU-PF has a clue in terms of what it's going to do.
Dr. Nkululeko Sibanda is a political analyst based in the United Kingdom.
We have an important programming change announcement. Effective Monday, August 29th, 2016, Studio 7 will stop its English program. However, English news on Zimbabwe will continue to be broadcast on VOA's English to Africa programs, Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday, and Nightline Africa, Saturday and Sunday. Studio 7 will continue programming in English on Live Talk, which has been expanded to one full hour. You will also be able to get Zimbabwe news on our website and Facebook. We will continue broadcasting in Shona and Ndebele, Monday through Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, where we have expanded Shona and Ndebele programs to 30 minutes. For broadcast times and frequencies, please visit our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. That's www.voazimbabwe.com.
Coming up
this evening, we are featuring Mbira music star Stella Chiweshe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Somali security forces say they have ended a deadly siege of a beachfront restaurant in the capital, with at least 7 people killed in the attack, along with 2 assailants, a police official said today.
Already suffering from the earthquake that shook the area Wednesday, 2 strong aftershocks hit the town of Amatrice in central Italy today.
And the United States and Russia renewed efforts today to negotiate a peaceful end to the fighting in Syria in light of a more volatile and complicated situation with the introduction of Turkish forces on the ground.
We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave frequency. This is Studio 7 broadcasting live from Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is troubled by the August 12th arrest of Azerbaijani opposition activist Natiq Jafarli, the executive secretary of the opposition Real movement. The United States is also troubled by the arrests of additional activists. The activists who have been arrested are secular democratic opposition figures, though the authorities are citing alleged ties to Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen to justify some of these arrests. The arrests come ahead of a national referendum on amendments to the Constitution. The proposed amendments would lengthen the presidential term from 5 to 7 years and introduce the posts of first vice president and vice president, which would be appointed rather than elected. Other proposed changes relate to restricting certain fundamental freedoms in vaguely defined circumstances. The United States urges the government of Azerbaijan to submit the constitutional amendments for a joint Venice Commission and Office for Democratic Institutions and Human Rights opinion. The United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention visited Azerbaijan in May. In a statement, they said that they hold the view that human rights defenders, journalists, political and religious leaders, continue to be detained under criminal or administrative charges as a way to impair the exercise of their basic human rights and fundamental freedoms and to silence them. The United States said State Department Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner urges the Azerbaijani government to release these and other activists incarcerated in connection with exercising their fundamental freedoms, to respect the fundamental freedoms of its citizens, and to allow an open public dialogue about the direction of the country, particularly in the run-up to the planned September 26 constitutional amendment referendum.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Mutare City Council has launched a massive water disconnection blitz in the eastern border town of Mutare, Manicaland Province, in an attempt to recover $20 million in unpaid service charges. But local residents say they are failing to settle their bills due to the current harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe. Our correspondent Lloyd Hamoyo reports.
The local authority is conducting a door-to-door campaign in a crackdown designed to fish out locals who are not paying water and supplementary council charges. Some of the residents told Studio 7 that this exercise is worthless as most of them don't have a reliable source of income following the closure of several companies in Mutare. One of the residents, Enoch Rwizi of Sakuva High Density Suburb, said the local authority should seriously consider crafting better ways of recovering its debt.
They should give residents ample time to pay up. In other words, they should introduce the payment plans.
Former Ward 17 Councillor Peter Nyamana, who is now a civil rights activist, echoed the same sentiments, adding that the council should fix leaking water pipes and other pressing issues instead of disconnecting water supplies.
They must find ways to recover their money from defaulting residents without disconnecting water, since we are actually losing a lot of water.
Another resident, Elisha Msabayana, noted that there is need for the council to engage residents in order to work out ways of settling the ballooning debt.
I think that's not the solution, because if you look at our country at the present moment, you see, we are experiencing the economic hardship.
Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights member Pasmonia Kureba stressed that the council action was unconstitutional. One of the council officials, Albert Nduna, said even senior state officials and government departments are struggling to pay their bills.
It's not only limited residents that are failing to pay up. We are also facing challenges from government departments and business, including politicians from ZANU-PF.
Mutare Mayor Tatenda Namarare argued that the local authority has a low revenue base, which resulted from a ministerial decree in 2013 for local authorities to write off residents' bills. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Moyo.
And this evening we're featuring Mbira music maestro Stella Chiweshe.
It was something like an inside force that was pushing me to play, even though a lot of people were against it.
So as a young woman back then, how were you received when you decided that you were going to be a Mbira player?
There was a clinic for mentally disturbed people. They could have dragged me into that clinic. They thought I had lost my mind, everybody.
Why were they thinking that?
I don't know. Because, you know, there was no Mbira where I grew up. I had heard the Mbira from people who were invited from another region. They had come to play Mbira for my mother's great-grandfather who was talking through her. And then after 2 years, I started to hear the Mbira afresh. So I think they were reacting like that, because for them it was for men to play Nigeria, not for women, not for women.
So what song sticks out to you the most that you played when you started playing?
The song that I started to record was not from my own thinking that I want to record this song. I was watching football, and then I heard a very huge voice from the eastern side, and it told me that, please record that song of yours, Kasawa, urgently. It is needed by the soul of the earth and the bones of the people. I went out and I met a guy, his name was Pamizi Benura. He was a solo guitarist. So he took me to see the good company, and straight away I went with my dealer. But it did not work as expected, because the producer asked me, how can I help you? And I said, I have come to record a song that is needed urgently by the soul of the earth and the bones of the people. Oh, I made him laugh.
So what did you do then?
He said, what is that? Do you have a demo of that song? And I asked him, what is a demo? And he said, so you don't know what a demo is, so don't waste my time, please. Next. As I was leaving, he said, but leave your address. So I left my address with him. And after 3 days, he came running and sweating and searching for me. So he said, please forget about what I did to you when you came. Please, let's go and record. And, you know, see, after less than a week, every program started with that song, Kasawa. It was in 1974.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners about continuing protests in Zimbabwe.
What do you think about this issue?
If you wish to join us, call us at 001-202-619-2077, or you can text us on 001-202-465-0318.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Political protests rock Harare.
As Tajamka leaders are arrested for planning another public march next week.
And Mutare City Council disconnects water supplies to hundreds of residents, owing it millions of dollars.
And that's our broadcast this evening.
Join us at 7 every evening for news in 3 languages, and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.